Welcome to the Plain English Attorney Podcast. I'm your host, Jeffrey G. Marsacci, and I'm an attorney, certified Medicaid planner, and author by trade. But I've been told that my biggest strength is to boil down complicated legal issues into plain English. In this podcast, I'll cover a wide array of legal, financial, and current event issues relevant to today's busy listener. It's my goal to make the complex more simple for you so you can get on to what is important to you in your life. Please make sure to check out the links in the podcast description. And as always, please subscribe and comment. Hi, this is Jeff Marsacci, the Plain English Attorney, and today we're going to talk about conflicting financial agents and why this is never a good idea. I have a lot of clients, and when I start talking with them about what do we need to do to put things into their estate planning documents, the first big question out of the big four questions that I typically ask my clients when we're trying to put together a plan is, who do you trust to handle financial things for you? If we put this plan together and you end up in a car accident and suddenly you're in a coma, and if it's a couple, both of you are in that coma, and you're in that coma for 3 months, you're in the hospital. Somebody needs to grab the checkbook, pay the bills, keep everything afloat. Make sure that when you get out, you're not having a house in foreclosure, the utilities turned off. Somebody's keeping your life afloat so that when you get out, you're not left with a mess. Or if you don't make it out, all right, well, this is the person you want in charge of making sure that everybody gets what they're supposed to get and when they're supposed to get it. And typically we look for one person. If they can't do it, we have a backup. And then if they can't do it, there's a third. You don't ever want co-anything. I've got other videos on that, but let's stick with this conflicting financial agents. Sometimes I have my clients and say, oh, well, you're talking about the power of attorney. No, that's not the question I asked. I asked, who do you trust to handle financial things? Again, I'm the plain English attorney. I want to keep things as simple as possible. So that's the question I'm asking. Where that leads to, that list of those people, that should be the list of your successor trustees for your trust, the financial agents in your durable general power of attorney. That's also the list of the executors of your will, and the same list is the conservators of your estate. And conservator of estate, that's a way of saying like guardianship for an adult. If you end up in that situation where a judge feels they need to name somebody, you have that same three people. Well, why would you do that? Isn't that a lot for them to do? It's because you don't ever want to have two people in charge of your same finances and trying to reach the same goal, but they end up with different things that they have to grab and things they have to do. If you want one person in charge of your finances, they can get all the help they want. They can hire people. They can work with accountants and financial, whatever. They can work with anybody, but somebody's got to be in charge, and it's got to be one person. Well, I want my son to be my trustee, but I'd rather have my brother as my power of attorney. All right, you're in that car accident. And now suddenly your son steps in and he's in control of all of the assets that are in your revocable trust, which often doesn't mean things like your vehicle, it's not in the trust, for example. And your life insurance isn't typically owned by the trust. It's just payable upon death into the trust. And IRAs and 401ks and other retirement accounts, you do not put them into the trust because it's a taxable event. Oh, so now your brother's in charge of those assets. So two people are trying to take care of your financial well-being, and they may have very different ideas on how to do it, and they've got different resources. That just doesn't make sense. You want one person who's in charge of both. All right. Well, how about if I name a different person as the conservator of the estate? No. What that signals to a judge is, well, okay, if I'm sick for a couple of weeks or I'm in a coma or something, you know, for a short period of time, these are the people I want in charge. If not, then I want this other person. That's signaling to them, Yeah, if this is going on longer than, you know, just a brief period of time, then you want them to overrule the people that you've named to be as your trustee and as your power of attorney, and it's almost guaranteed it's going to end up in court. Whereas that's not what most of my clients want. What they want is for all of this to avoid court. So having that same list as your trustee, your power of attorney, conservator of the estate, and then the executor of the pour-over will. All right, what if there are these things that do end up in probate? And sometimes it's vehicles, small bank accounts, tax refunds, people sending checks in after you're dead. Okay, those have to go through probate. Why would you want someone being your trustee and a different person being that executor? Now, I can tell you from experience, what ends up happening is the trustee is, wow, this is nice and easy. This is pretty easy to be, you know, to handle settling a revocable living trust. There's stuff they have to sign, there are assets they have to gather, but hey, no big deal. They're not dealing with all of the court restrictions and the court deadlines, and we need these five pieces of paper that going around this one $2.58 transaction that we need copies of the canceled check if we're going to go through it. And the trustee doesn't realize that the court process is so much more burdensome. What they're seeing is, I managed to settle $3 or $4 million or $700,000 or $800,000 in this trust in the matter of several weeks. Why is it taking 6 months for this $35,000 that's in court? This is ridiculous. You're incompetent, and now you're setting up more conflict. If it's the trustee who's also the executor, they're going to understand that things are different. So if you believe in the afterlife where you're able to look down and see what's going on with your relatives and see them, or some people say, well, if I'm, you know, they believe these stories that if someone's in a coma, they can still see what's going on. If you want to see an absolute train wreck, then get people with different personalities and put different people into these positions who are supposed to be either taking care of your financial well-being when you're incapacitated or handling the settlement of your assets so they get to the right people. Name conflicting people, and it's going to be that train wreck. So I always have to advise my clients, look, just stick with this list. Sometimes it becomes a little more difficult when you're dealing with a couple. They should have the same list if they're going to have a lot of joint assets. If they're having a lot of joint assets, they're having a joint revocable trust, which means, okay, you don't want two different people in charge of your trust assets and your assets that are outside the trust. Imagine this scenario where you have, okay, it's the son who's the successor trustee, but mom has her sister as her durable general power of attorney, and dad has his brother as his durable general power of attorney. Now you've got three people trying to take care of mom and dad who are in a coma in a hospital, handle their finances, three different people looking at different assets to try to take care of their financial well-being. It just doesn't work out. So again, just to keep it simple, I always advise my clients, come up with that list of three people in order who you trust to handle financial things for you. Then that list should go right across the board. And if it's a couple, there may be some compromise here in moving things around together to come up with a list, but you really should come up with a common list because it really could create an awful lot of confusion, and it may end up in court, and that's not the purpose of putting together these types of documents. So I hope you found that information useful. I hope you were able to kind of think through that a little bit and realize, yeah, if you trust them to handle financial things, put them across the board in those positions. So as again, Jeff Mastracci, the Plain English Attorney, as always, stay safe, plan ahead, and enjoy life. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Plain English Attorney Podcast, and we hope you found this session interesting and informative. For more information, please check out the links in the description, and please let us know if you have any ideas for future podcasts.